So far on the podcast, I've talked solely about films. Today, I want to go on a little deep dive about television. Do we think that there are big differences between the two industries? How about representation? It feels like many TV shows got around to presenting different kinds of stories before big movies ever did. What about the general treatment of the writers, actors, directors, everyone involved? In my opinion, I feel like I do see a lot more representation in TV series. There are shows from the early 2000s with more representation than movies from 5 years ago.
We'll talk about all of this and more on today's season finale of Hollywood Let's Talk.
Here with me today is my guest, Alana Wunsch, avid TV watcher and lover of all things pop culture. I am so excited to pick your brain about all things TV.
So, Alana, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so good. So much better now that you're here.
Oh, thanks.
So, I know one of your favorite things ever, TV, right?
Absolutely. I don't shut up about it.
So, first question, just right off the bat, how different is your favorite show compared to your favorite movie? Like, do you go to different mediums for different things? Do you see any patterns within your own watching?
I would say, as a former film major, I have some of the worst taste in movies. I am a rom-com girly till I die. Pitch Perfect is probably my number one. Mm-hmm. And then second, Titanic. So I like to
James Cameron.
Rage.
He's an incredible director.
Exactly. But as for TV shows, I'm definitely like a teen drama kind of girly.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, in a way, it kind of relates to, like, Pitch Perfect is like goofy, fun, but then I love the drama.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a lot of, like, my favorite TV shows, like, One Tree Hill, The OC, then we have, like, Grey's Anatomy, like, your girly quintessential TV shows, and then I have, like, some better picks, but, like, those are the ones I chat about.
So they're pretty similar in your taste for movies and TV. It doesn't really vary.
Yeah, I have a little bit of range.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ones I talk about a lot are usually the lower brow of the option.
Yeah. So, in terms of celebrity news, the content they're making, anything of that sort, do you notice, as someone in the School of Communication Media, a huge difference in the two industries between television and film? Whether it's the people, what they're making, anything like that?
I would say, like, both are toxic. Hollywood's, like, pretty toxic when it comes to, like, work environments, and we hear a lot about that. I would say film and TV. TV has been in the spotlight recently with the Quiet on Set documentary.
Absolutely.
And then, as the One Tree Hill fan I am, listening to, like, Drama Queens, their rewatch podcast, and hearing about all the behind the scenes of how awful they were treated, it's just, like, bringing a lot to light. And because I'm more of a TV versus movie person, I learn more about, like, the behind the scenes of TV rather than movies. But
right.
I think overall, they definitely both have their issues.
Yeah, it seems like it. Because when you look at it surface level, TV shows, to me, it seems like have always been a little bit more progressive. They might have more representation of stories, of people, what have you. And you don't always hear about bad TV show environments, but definitely you're right. Like, recently, especially with the spotlight on children's TV or, like, young adult TV, and how these actors' children really are being mistreated. And even with One Tree Hill, like, they were probably in their 20s when
they were
filming.
They were all, like, 21 starting.
And they were still getting horribly mistreated. And I think it is just such a different environment because, like, film, you have, like, one end product. That's it. You're working towards one goal. Maybe there's a sequel, whatever. But when it comes to TV, it's such a high-pressure environment that kind of fosters that toxicity because you're trying to pump out episode after episode after episode. You're trying to get renewed for another season.
Definitely.
Like, there's so much more kind of riding on it, I feel like. And that pressure is then put onto the people starring in it, even if that's not where it should be placed.
I would say, like, film, like, you have a script that doesn't get changed as much as a season of television does. And also, films are a lot more condensed in filming time. Like, that might be a year-long project, which is a long time, but in the, like, scheme of things, like, television shows that go on for 9 seasons, kind of rare at this point, but if they do, that's like 10 years that these people are in an environment together. And just
working horrible hours.
Exactly. Like, they get no sleep, terrible treatment, on some sets. I'm sure some are good. But, you know, it's just so much more time. And I know, once again, I bring it back to One Tree Hill, they were living their lives while on this set. So as things were happening to them, they were putting it into the TV show.
Yeah.
Because the TV show has no definite ending. A movie is one and done. The ending might change a little.
Yeah, but like, there's a set story. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a set story. You're not really adding a lot in that's coming from personal experiences. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, I know for One Tree Hill, like, Sophia Bush, like, Chad Michaelmore cheated on her.
Yeah.
They got married. He cheated on her. They, like, put a bunch of stuff into the show that, like, forced her to, like, relive that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like watching the Quiet on Set documentary, they did the same thing to those
awful
kids. Where, like, something would happen in real life, whether it's speculation, rumors, mm-hmm, whatever. Something happened to one of those stars, and then immediately there's a joke written about it in the next episode.
Exactly.
And you're forcing these actors to relive that and go through it over and over again. And then whenever they watch it, they're going to have to relive it. And it is just such a weird culture, because it is so normal in mm-hmm TV.
But it's kind of terrifying that, yeah, like,
so
anything
scary
that can happen to you will be written into a script at any time. And there's not much say you have without being, like, regarded as, like, a problem on the set or a diva,
yeah,
or this and that. They might just fire you. They might just kill you off of the show.
No, yeah, even if you're a huge star, like, if you give them issues, like, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of things kind of getting written in, and the thing that comes to mind is the COVID season of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And kind of just the general, like, taking things that are happening in our world and putting them into TV. And for so many years, film and TV, it's like escapism. Like, it's like you mm-hmm go there to escape everything else. But when you have seasons like, I'm not sure what number season it was, because there's like a bajillion seasons of Grey's Anatomy now.
Yeah.
It was 17 or 18, I believe. But it was mainly focused on COVID. And of course, they're in a hospital and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, they were making a lot of commentary on it as well. Like, what's your take on putting those real world hard things into shows? And, like, I guess the show's, like, responsibility to make comments, whether they shouldn't be making comments, like, just anything.
I would say, like, they definitely should comment on it. Like, they're a hospital. If they didn't address COVID, I think it would be, like, even more of a headline.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, if they're continuously pumping out seasons and they just don't address it at all, this was, like, a 3-year issue we had. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be odd. But with that as a fan, I just didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, no, it was tough to get through.
Yeah, like, I get why they did it, and I agree they needed to, but I feel like there could have been, I don't know if, like, tasteful is the way to put it, because
yeah,
it was such a raging issue, but, like, as a viewer, it just wasn't appealing to watch.
Yeah.
And it didn't make me want to watch. Like, I think I pretty much stopped watching after,
I think, a lot
seasons
of, like, I shortly after finished, and I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, I couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
And it's not only the fact that COVID was in it, because obviously COVID was such a big
mm-hmm
phenomenon, this pandemic, and it was something that we had to deal with and we had to face for so long, and honestly still are facing. Like,
yeah,
there's still questions, there's still this and that, but I think, like you said, like, the tasteful way to go about it, where, like, you can put it in, but maybe not, like, then use it as kind of a vehicle to then, like,
mm-hmm,
I don't know, some of it felt very, like,
forced.
Performative, forced, like, the things that they were saying, the dialogue, and the issues that they were pushing. So, like, in other instances of whether it's just kind of, like, a social movement, a cultural thing that's happening, commenting on that, or forcing it, like, down people's throats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think about TV shows kind of doing that?
I, like, would say, like, another show that does that is definitely, like, SVU.
Mm-hmm.
And I love SVU. I've been watching this way too long. And, like, I prefer the older seasons because it was just more, like, interesting.
Yeah.
With a message intertwined,
yeah,
or kind of, like, knowledge informing us on things instead of, like, really pushing certain stories. And
yeah,
I understand, once again, they're important to talk about, and I totally agree with some of the statements, all this, but sometimes it just feels so performative,
yeah,
that it's just, like, hard to watch and just takes away from the story they're trying to say.
Yeah, 100%. And I think part of it because we were talking about this in my playwriting class the other day about showing and not telling and how so many things nowadays, like, they just assume audiences are dumb.
Yeah.
And they have to, like, say things instead of showing it. So, like, that's such a good example of what you just said of, like, older seasons, there were messages. And there obviously has always been commentary in TV and films. Like, that's what it's used for. But it was, at least in my opinion, it was way more subtly, like you said, interwoven into the story and more subtle that it didn't feel like it was just saying it to say it. It made sense and it went with the story.
Yeah.
And I think that is definitely a huge thing that we see, like, 100%, like, it is so good to see, like, way more stories being told through representation, this, that. But when it's performative, like, it's not helping anyone.
It just takes
it doesn't
away
feel good.
It.
Like, you feel worse about seeing it. Like, you're not like, oh, I'm so happy. There's, like, something about women, like, let's say, like, and it's, like, written by women and it's starred in by women, but it's, like, not good. Or, like, it feels like the performative.
You're
like,
just trying to tick off boxes.
Exactly. Like, they're just saying things that are, like, the buzzwords.
Yeah.
Or, like, things like that. And it just brings up the question of, like, is that still a step in the right direction? Or, like, is that something that we kind of need to take back and examine and say, okay, how do we get back to that storytelling that really is just about, like, well-written characters? It's about a well-written story.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put everything kind of into it.
Yeah.
But how do we do that, I guess, is the question that I think.
That's not something I should be answering. I don't think I have the answers, but I'll give the commentary.
Yeah. So, did you ever feel when you were watching TV, whether it was through particular characters, whether it was through certain storylines, more represented in any way than watching movies? Like, do you think that there's a wider range of stories being told? Like, you're more likely to find someone in TV than film?
I think so, because you just have so many more, like, outlets. Like, once again, I feel like a movie is so structured. There's, like, maybe 10 main characters that have their story being told in 1 to 3 hour range at this point. But TV, you have, like, 9 seasons where you can throw in so many side characters, and sometimes you don't, like, associate yourself with a main character, but there's these side stories that come in, and it's like, oh, that's me. Like, I'm happy to finally have someone. I just feel like there's a lot more outlet in TV for that, like, 100%. The addition of characters and, like, different storylines.
Yeah, and I think being able to develop those characters further, because so many times, like, in movies, like, I'm sure they write it, they film it, and they're like, oh, everyone's gonna like this character, and then they end up thinking the other one's way more relatable, or people really respond well to someone else. They don't have another opportunity to kind of flesh that out and look into it and examine it more, where TV, you have so much more leeway of, like, then once you see that audience response, you're like, okay, let's go further into that story and we can develop this character or change this character because people aren't responding well to it. So it definitely is so much more of, like, a fluid art, I think.
It's, like, open-ended.
Yeah. And I would say maybe not as much now as it used to be, because now you have shows, like you said before, very rarely are shows getting 8 and 9 seasons nowadays. Mm-hmm. They're making maybe 4 or 5. And
that's even pushing it.
That's pushing it. Yeah, you're right. And it's very much like they have to do exactly what the producers, the people who want to make the money, what they want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like there's less, like, popular TV that's just, like, there. Because, like, when we go back to, like, all the teen dramas of, like, the 2000s, there's so many. There's so many options. And I think streaming's changed that, I think. I think post-pandemic has definitely changed it as well.
Agreed.
The strikes, all of that. But shows are being produced, and it's like, what's going to make us the most money? What is going to work? Are we even going to get renewed for another season? Because, like, one of my favorite shows that I watched freshman year of college, it was a Netflix show, and it had 1 season, and then it never got renewed on Netflix.
Yep.
And that happens all the time, where, like, people love shows where they don't get renewed, so then you never get to have that development.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because, like, in a way it is that, like, fluid, like, you see the response, you get to shape it and mold it. But at the same time, it might actually be moving more towards the same route as movie making, because you are like, it's like, oh, we don't know if we're going to get a sequel. We don't know if we're going to get a second season.
There's no more 27 episode seasons.
Where did they go? I'm so mad about it.
I know. They packed so much. Like the OC, the first season, I think, is 28 episodes. They don't make it like that anymore.
They don't.
There was only 4 seasons, but there was like over 100 episodes.
Like, it's 8 episode seasons everywhere.
It's so boring. Like, I was watching
Queen Charlotte, I think, or they just announced a new, like, Bridgerton season, like, the episode lineup, and it's, like, coming out in 2 parts, which, like, okay, there's a writer's strike, like, whatever.
I get it, but you're annoying me.
But at the same time, it's like, wait, so it's 4 episodes, and then you have to wait, like, 6 months probably or more to then watch 4 more episodes, and that's it. That's an afternoon. Like,
literally.
I miss 22 episode seasons. Like, I just started rewatching. Well, not just started. I'm actually almost done with my rewatch of Pretty Little Liars. I started it at the beginning of the semester.
Mm-hmm.
7 seasons, 22 episodes.
Exactly. It takes time.
So much shit is happening. Like, so much is going on. They had to get really creative. It got really weird.
The most insane storylines you could never think of.
But like Gilmore Girls, which is Alana and I, one of our favorite shows, and we absolutely adore it. Like, that's another one where it was good the whole way through. Like, okay.
You can forget season 7 when
the reboot was bad. And then, yeah.
When they kicked off Miss Amy.
Yeah, like right at the end it did. It took a little turn for the worse, but like...
But consistently.
Consistent, good episodes. There was at least 22 episodes in those seasons. Maybe 25. I feel like they ranged anywhere in there. TV's definitely changing. I don't know if it's just from streaming. Like, everyone is getting their content, like, in the same place. You're not tuning in every week.
Uh-huh. I miss that. I love turning on my TV at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday and watching whatever it is.
And it's kind of surprising because... Well, I'm sure it's a money thing because it costs so much money to hire these people, make the movie, make the TV show, whatever. But with how many people binge watch things, like, these seasons are so short.
I know, like, I guess the last thing I binge watched that was, like, new was, like, My Life with the Walter Boys. I finished that in a day.
Yeah, you can finish shows in a day.
And then people have their edits pumped out by the next day.
Yeah,
it's insane. Then the content is gone. After a week, there's no more content.
There's nothing else. And I like The Summer I Turned Pretty, which is, like, the exact same thing as the show that you just said.
Yeah.
But I think it was better.
Better. Cuter boys.
You wait a year, and then you are getting weekly episodes, which I think TV just, like, now they love to just play games with our brains. Because it's like, okay, we don't have this many episodes, and you get it all at one time. We used to drop an entire season in one day. You got to watch the whole thing. They don't do that anymore. Now, you do have to wait week to week, but there's also less episodes.
Yeah, so it's, like, not even worth it. I feel like there's, like,
because then I'm like, oh, do I wait and watch the whole thing when it's out? But then TikTok's going to spoil everything for me.
That's literally the worst. You go on TikTok the next day, every single plot line.
Yeah.
Told.
Marvel shows are like that. They drop 2 episodes and it's weekly. And then, like, everything, like, Amazon, Netflix. Netflix is supposed to be, everything's there, you get to watch everything, drop the whole season. And now, it's, you literally have to wait every single week. Yeah. Like, you used to have to. But you're getting so much less content.
Yeah. Like, you were keeping us for, like, at least 10 weeks on, like, cable.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, the, like, trailers for the next episode, they're building up with commercials all week, and you're just waiting for it to hit Wednesday at 8 p.m. on ABC to be like, let's watch, sit down with the fam, and, like...
Like, that's what happened. So we watched Percy Jackson in this household, me and my housemate and a couple other friends, and we'd watch it every week when it came out, either the day it dropped or the day after, depending on our schedules. But those were 23-minute episodes.
That's just not even worth my time.
Like, you have to wait every single week, and you get a 23-minute episode. And I understand it's meant for, like, middle schoolers, but...
Doesn't excuse it.
Really, like, everyone knows the TV show was for all the people that read the books in middle school and are now college age, past college, in high, like, whatever. This is, like, our, avenging of, like, the series because the movies were so bad. And then, like, we have to wait so long for this content. Like, they're going to be adults by the time
Well, that's what happened with Stranger Things.
Yeah,
that's I don't watch it, but they are literally adults. Like, one of them is getting married.
They're come literally on adults.
They're, what are they playing, eighth graders?
I think they are adding a time jump for the last season. Okay. I mean, they have to. Like, they all hit puberty.
Yeah.
They all are, like, a foot taller than they were. They don't look the same.
No.
Yeah, that is another one. Obviously, like, with kids, like, it's hard because they are growing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to make them... Again, with the bad environments, like, you don't want to make them be keeping these horrible schedules and filming all of this content to just pump it out. But, I mean, they are getting paid pretty well.
True.
They're richer than I will probably ever be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's definitely something that's funky, like Stranger Things, the Percy Jackson mm-hmm. shows. Like, you're never going to believe that they're...
Oh, no.
Like,
and then Euphoria just got, like, pushed? Like, season 3 again? Is pushed indefinitely?
Well,
like, no one's gonna care anymore.
No, I know. Like, Euphoria, like, I remember season 2, there's so much hype. Because yeah. we were watching it, that's another one, week to week. We did watch parties, like, we would watch it, we were so invested. And then they, like, dropped half the cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the producer was under fire for, like, a bunch of stuff. Other, like, high-up people, like, quit or left.
Yeah.
And it has just been getting pushed. And, like, you're never going to believe that Jacob Elordi is high schooler. Zendaya does not look
none of them look like high schoolers. Never did, to be fair. But, like, no one's going to care anymore.
Yeah, like, you're over it.
You missed the boat. And yeah. I get it. Pandemic, writer strike. But, like, come on now.
Like, Outer Banks is another one, like... I really enjoyed the first season,
mm-hmm.
and then it was, like, a while, and then I was like, okay, I watched the second season, it was fine. Third season, I couldn't get through, and it's, like, again, like, you do not believe that these are high schoolers, like,
no, I feel like no high schooler on TV ever looks like a high schooler, except for High School Musical, the musical, the series.
You're so right.
Which had me hooked each week, by the way.
Do you think that's because of how awful the children actors were treated and they can get around way more rules by hiring older people? Oh, definitely,
because they don't have to go to school.
They don't have to go to school.
Once they have their high school or at least a GED, they don't have to go through these rules anymore. That's why they hire older people.
You don't have to deal with parents.
And also, none of these shows are realistic, normally at least.
Yeah,
so, like, putting, like, children... per se, right. into these roles might look way more wrong than casting the 22, 23, 24-year-old to play a 16-year-old because they look like adults and acting like adults. But
yeah.
we have to keep in mind they're supposed to be 16, but if a real 16-year-old is acting like
yeah.
this, it's, like, concerning.
No, yeah, like, perfect example, Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
Like, on my rewatch, like, I watched it probably middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably when I watched it. Middle school, maybe into high school, I don't really remember. But on the rewatch, you think about the fact that one of the main characters is 16 and in a relationship with her English teacher.
Disgusting.
And we're, like, supposed to be rooting for
them. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not, like, a bad thing. It's, like, you genuinely want them to end up together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other main characters almost gets drowned and then starts dating the girl that tried to drown her.
Oh.
Like, and that, it's just so interesting. But that show is so fascinating when you think about it because... kind of one of the things that I had mentioned was, like, TV, I feel like, has always been more progressive and
mm-hmm.
able to be more progressive in its representation and, like, the stories it's telling, the people it's showing. Like, they had, like, an openly gay character
yeah.
in whatever year that premiered. There was a transgender character that it was never looked down upon or, like,
mm-hmm.
talked about in a bad way. Because, obviously, there were some bad jokes in a lot of, like, 2000s TV regarding,
even
Gilmore
Girls is
yeah,
horrible.
Regarding, like, sexuality or gender, anything of that. Like, we've seen some bad jokes and
yeah.
storylines on that. But, like, here's a show that's, like, marketed towards teenage girls,
mm-hmm.
had that representation, and it isn't, like, made to be a big deal. But you're right, like, at the same time, like, it is with adults, so it's more, like, palatable.
Yeah.
Because they are, like, 25-year-olds, they're not actually 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you forget she's in a relationship with
exactly.
her high school.
Exactly.
You forget they're, like,
it's
constantly
like a mind
being
trick.
Endangered. Like, they literally die, like, almost die. A billion times
yeah.
during that show.
Oh, of course. You have to make TV good.
So, yeah, it definitely is, like, the palatability of using older people to show these stories. And also, like, you get around so many rules on set by hiring
it's
older
definitely,
people.
Like, a loophole. But the thing that I thought was interesting, like, when you're saying, like, representation was more allowed, I feel like networks had more rules to kind of, like, keep themselves contained besides, like, because films you can make rated R. But I guess, like, TV, you can't really, like, if it's on cable, like, yeah, you can't really stop censorship. People from watching it. There's definitely more censorship, but I agree. I feel like TV is more widely talked about, so then, like, intertwining these, like, Grey's Anatomy has always been ahead of its time. Like, yeah. They've always talked about, like, certain issues. They've always had, like, representation.
Yeah.
But I feel like it didn't go without, like, protests from the network or even the viewers sometimes.
Yeah.
But I feel like film, they have more freedom to do it, but it's not as widely, like, talked about. Like, if a film goes, like, so off the rails in something, it's going to be niche and not many people are going to watch it. But I feel like if you put it in a TV show, more people are going to see it.
Yeah. Like, I just think on just, like, basic, like, diversity and everything that kind of falls under what we, like, call representation, which should just be, like, everyone should get to be in TV and have their stories told, but that goes without saying. But you just see, like, a lot, like, sitcoms and things, like, they do have a lot more diversity just in their casting, and it never felt, I'm thinking of, like, a couple TV shows where, like, it doesn't feel forced.
Yeah.
Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they have a very diverse cast and, like, main cast, and it never felt, like, forced, where now, I don't know if it's just, like, the jaded kind of, like, now that I've looked into the industries and everything more, so much of it just does feel forced.
Agreed. Because
it's like you said, we're just checking boxes. Like, we just want it to look a certain way or we want it to appear a certain way. You're not actually caring. And I think that's been an issue with some TV shows. Like, I know, like, Miss Marvel, which obviously is great for representation of a culture that I think doesn't get, especially in, like, the Marvel movies, like, it's not getting its right representation. But people were, like, slamming the show because they, like, went out of their way to, like, show, it was a celebration of some kind, I'm not sure what it was. Like, I don't think it was a wedding. I'm not sure what it was. But it was just, like, totally wrong. Like, with, like, the costumes and, like, the way that it was representing kind of something in their culture. It was just totally wrong.
Great.
And I feel like that does happen a lot.
Yeah.
But it is just interesting to think about, like, the differences between the two industries. And, like, there is more censorship on TV. But, again, everything just goes back to money. Like, they have a certain amount of money for a movie. And it's like, they need to make this much. And they can't push too much. Because, you know, when Disney puts anyone that's gay in a movie, it's like
terrible.
It tanks and no one goes to see it because they're boycotting. So, like, I don't know if it's just because, like, they want to lose less money or because of that kind of fluidity and ability to kind of push boundaries more in TV shows, because maybe it might not get noticed. Because you're right, like, in movies, it's like, usually, if they're gonna do something, they're gonna go all out. And then people will just not see it.
And you have to deliberately, like, go to see it. A TV show may just, like,
if it's something, it's something your friend watches, it's something that's just in the background when you're doing work. It used to be like, oh, you just turned on the TV and something was on there, which a lot of times is what, now you kind of have to actively seek out things.
True, which is so annoying.
It is really
annoying. I miss channel surfing.
Well, I think that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Alana.
Of course.
This has been so much fun. And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.